It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Newly released indicators gauge the mental health of Wisconsin high school students, and there are some discouraging trends.
The Wisconsin Youth Risk Behavior Survey found that in 2023, just over half of teens reported anxiety. One in three reported daily depression for 2 weeks or longer. One in five reported self-harm.
Here's Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underley at a news conference saying, we must do better.
As educators, as parents, as community leaders, as humans, we have the responsibility to confront this crisis head on. We have the knowledge and the resources to support our students as they attempt to wade through these challenging waters, many of them on their own.
That audio is courtesy of Wisconsin Eye. We're learning now about the survey's findings and why the mental health of young people has been declining for over a decade.
Linda Hall is the director of the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health. Linda, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you so much for having me. This report that comes from the Department of Public Instruction is so important for us to have that this data that really helps us understand the well-being of the kids in Wisconsin. And as you can tell from what you've already reported on, we've got a real mental health crisis going on right now.
Linda, you work on this issue day in and day out and working to improve youth mental health. What is your reaction to the 2023 survey results?
Well, frankly, we were hoping that some of these 10-year plus trends were going to be starting to go in the other direction. We've been seeing anxiety and depression increasing, kids' feeling of belonging, especially at school, decreasing for more than 10 years now. And we have more awareness of it since the pandemic. The pandemic maybe contributed some more to the trends, but we had really hoped to start seeing these trends turn around. At the same time, our office is really focused on making that happen, and I'd be happy to talk about that some more.
And I'm going to put a pin on that. I really want to hear some about these programs, what sounds promising. But I also want to, you mentioned the pandemic, and certainly the pandemic made things worse. The trend of more depression, anxiety among adolescents started about a decade before 2020, from 2009 to 2019, rates of major depressive disorder nearly doubled among adolescents. Can you talk about this increase and why it might have started before the pandemic?
Well, that's something we look at every day, and we're trying to put together all of the research that is going on out there and trying to create a really strong picture of that. What we know is that some things have been changing in how we live. First of all, smartphones came into existence, which means that all of us are relating to each other differently, and kids are using their phones a lot. We have some concerns about what that's actually doing to how their brains are developing, but that's a factor. We know that social media and the use of social media has increased. And that, especially for girls, there have been some really negative side effects of the content that they have been flooded with on the social media. Not that they're looking for, but what is being delivered to them. So there's that. And then with the pandemic, I think the biggest effect is that, that kids were separated from their friends, that all of us did a lot less of seeing people in person. And those in-person connections are so critical to how we feel, our well-being generally, and our mental well-being. So disrupting those connections was another factor that is contributing to all this. Kids tell us that it's those factors plus climate change, worries about gun violence, and political divisiveness.
The survey found, you mentioned this, that girls and LGBTQ plus youth are at the highest risk for depression, anxiety, and self-harm. What might be some of the causes of this disproportionate risk?
Well, I think I'd take you back to the issue that girls are being confronted constantly with images about being thinner. They're on social media, they're getting some negative messaging about themselves, they're also they're getting messages that they're not yet emotionally equipped to deal with. And so we really encourage people to, you know, if you're a parent, have a family media plan, limit the time that your kids are on the social media. If you're a young person, do a little curating of what you're looking at on social media. Make sure that you're looking at positive things, things that help you. I think, and that's important for the LGBTQ kids. They, in many ways, are getting important connections through social media, but they need to, you know, focus on where it's a positive experience for them and not do it for too long. We're seeing kids are on for too many hours in a day, which takes away from their being outside, being physical, which is important for your well-being. And it's also taking away sleep. Kids are not getting this 8 hours of sleep that they used to get. And that's important for combating depression and for brain development.
Linda Hall is with us, directs the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health, as we talk about the 2023 Wisconsin Youth Risk Behavior Survey, the results recently published in a report by the State Education Department. Linda, another troubling data point here in this report is about hunger and teens reporting not having their basic needs met. One in four students reported experiencing hunger due to a lack of food in their house during the past 30 days. How does hunger intersect with mental health?
Yes, that was a figure that I was not aware of and I was surprised by. I didn't realize it was that pervasive, but we do know that kids who are experiencing food insecurity, they're not able to function as well at school. They don't feel like they belong at school, and they're also being bullied more than other kids. So those kids have a lot of things in their way. And let me just say that when kids come to school and they're hungry or they're tired or they're depressed, they're not in a mindset to be able to learn. And so all these things are really important. And belonging at school is one of the things that gets kids to school. And when they get to school, if they're there with an open mind, fed and not depressed, they're more likely to learn and then move on to better careers and better wages after school.
Well, let's talk about the school setting. The current state budget includes spending $30 million for the Get Kids Ahead program, which helps schools provide the comprehensive mental health services. Are there still gaps in prevention in schools?
I would say that sustainable, more increased funding for school mental health is the most important thing that we need to do as a state. The $30 million that is in the budget this time is time-limited money that came that ends at the end of the biennium. It also was implemented in a way that was without a formula that really allows for the money to go equally and fairly to small schools as well as larger schools. It was a step forward in terms of moving it from a grant program to a per pupil program. But in that, there was a step was missed in order to make sure that rural schools didn't lose the money that they had. The reason that school mental health funding is so important is because few kids actually get mental health treatment. And 75% of those who get it are likely to get it at school. And there are lots of things that we can do at school to, you know, create an atmosphere where kids are going to thrive. So allowing that to happen, allowing mental health professionals to be there and to support our school social workers and school counselors to have the time to address kids' issues are very important things.
In this survey, there is this space for the teens to say what they wish. And there are some quotes here. One that stuck out to me is, "We are rapidly becoming the most depressed and zombied age group of all." That was really chilling. And I know your office is really trying to work on stronger connections among youth. What is showing promises with the programs that you're working on?
Yes, actually, that is our number one focus, is how can we increase kids' social connections and how can we help them feel more like they belong? Let me just say that one thing that we do have to recognize as we look at all these numbers is that there is a lot more freedom to talk about mental illness and about feelings. So we think that that is a factor in what's going on, that kids are more open to talking about how they're feeling and asking for help. But what we're hearing right now is that their needs for help are continuing to outpace what's available to help them. In terms of what we can do, we can all do things to make a difference in kids' lives. You know, just a 40-second interaction with a young person can reduce their anxiety. When it comes to being a supportive adult, one thing you can do is to just listen. Listen real intentively. And if you're a parent, listen. Don't try to fix things right away. Just hear where they're at and see how they're doing with their feelings. See how they're managing their stress. And then maybe work with them on some good coping skills. And as a parent, model good coping skills and model putting down your phone and interacting with a person face to face.
Linda, thank you so much for joining us.
It was my pleasure. I appreciate you covering this topic. It's something that is very serious, but something that we can all contribute to making this a better place for our kids.
That is Linda Hall. She is the director of the Wisconsin Office of Children's Mental Health, talking with us about the state's 2023 Youth Risk Behavior Survey, why teens continue to struggle with mental health challenges. If you or someone you know is dealing with thoughts of suicide, call or text 988 to reach the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Again, it's three digits, 988.